That's a bit racist. Foreign types with their hookah pipes go, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Jihad,
oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. I am...
Allahu Akbar.
No, I won't do the song. On the last show, you spoke about how you like to ruin certain things for yourself. In particular, a Smashing Pumpkins song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we've talked about before how there's always just sort of some sort of music playing in our heads. And it gets weird, and you like to fill the silence. I did the same thing with a video game.
Okay.
A video game called This War of Mine, which is a very dark game. It's like a survival game within a war.
Yeah, it's a very weird... Yeah. Like the purpose of it is that you run a house.
Yeah.
You run like a little sanctuary in... it's somewhere between... the main sort of war fronts. You're away from the war, but you're devastated by it. It's an evacuated area. Nobody lives there, really.
Yeah, it's a state of emergency.
You're just trying to...
have to scavenge.
Yeah.
You're responsible for children's lives, old people's lives. It's one of the only games that have ever made me go, fuck, this is intense. This is dark, you know? But every time I see the title of the game, I always just sing, "This Little War of Mine... I'm going to let it shine." You know, it's one of the most uplifting Catholic songs ever written. And it just really ruins the dark tone for me. So I don't know.
But sometimes that just, you've got to go with it. Your brain just does something.
Maybe that's just me with some sort of video game PTSD, just coping with it, some sort of coping mechanism.
Yeah, you're just filling it
up
in.
A bit. Yeah. I don't know. Probably not, but.
I get that It's a Beautiful Life.
Mm-hmm.
Song going through my head at just the worst times because I think that's just funny.
Yeah,
like just simply standing up too quickly underneath something, hitting my head very hard, just bang. It's a beautiful life. That just makes me laugh because if that was like a scene, that would make me laugh. That song coming in,
like it happened in the footy when somebody knocked a ball on.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then they play song. That Jackson 5 song.
Yeah,
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Yeah, which is that's fantastic. It's got such. I'm going to look it up.
It's one of the most. It's always just extremely positive vibes, accompanied with some sort of tragedy, contextual tragedy. I don't know if it was Michael by himself or when he was with the White Stripes.
I don't know actually. No, Jackson. Yeah, full Jackson 5. So. Oof, that's just live. Yuck.
Give me a studio version, bruh. Remastered.
No, this is crazy. Why isn't there... They don't have one on here. This is...
Who, Google?
Yeah.
Fucking dogs.
That's unheard of. Or the Apple one.
Oh, whatever, Apple. Whatever. Sorry, Google. Be.
Sorry, Google.
That's unfair of me.
Sorry.
Thanks for hosting the podcast, though. We don't host it, but... I'm sure it's available on Google. Players?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's called Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
I've now committed. Oof, there's an ad and everything.
Oh, my God. See, that's a real fuck you to Adam and Milk, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't do anything.
I was very sexual, Michael.
And see, now there's a video where he's like talking and stuff. I don't want that. I want...
Listen to that bass. It makes me feel like...
It makes me feel like... Yeah.
Just cost your team an attacking set in the red zone. Everyone hates
Fantastic.
You.
Ready?
You've dropped it.
So, it's 14 points to 10. It's the 78th minute, and you've just gotten the penalty.
Yep.
You're 20 out.
You find touch. You got 10 metres. Your line's set.
You offload the ball, and it hits Shannon Boyd in the chest, and it bounces off. And it's a knock-on.
Drink it in, Shannon. You fat pig.
But that's It's so insulting. Imagine getting a try scored against you and then just, or just anything.
That, yeah.
Sorry, Milk, we're going to need you to come in this weekend.
Adam, can you work 4 p.m. till 9 p.m. tonight?
Oh no, I've got this.
The game's over.
See, no, I swear to God. See, this is why I need like a device that
we need
works.
A producer. Soph, SOS.
Yeah. You know, I was. Why does it start with that? That's trash.
It's very sexual, I think.
Well, it, obviously, but I don't want to be horny when I listen to
a
it.
Young supple Jack White.
There we go. I've got right. So I've got it. I know exactly where it needs to occur.
You know what the real test? Did Michael Jackson have pink or brown nipples?
I reckon we could find out.
Because they would
have
been brown one at some point.
I reckon we could find out.
I guess if you're going for full transformation, you're not leaving the nipples brown, are you?
Yeah, you shouldn't.
You'd be going, right, white here, fucking pink everywhere else. Please. I don't want to see one hint of chocolate. That's Michael. Saying that. That's Michael talking to his surgeon.
Yeah, not us. We're all right. I'm all right with milk. Yeah, you know. We are, we like, love, as people.
Yeah, absolutely. We love Michael Jackson. We love the way that he hung out with a lot of kids and stuff, and he was very nice and invited them onto his ranch.
Yeah, he's the opposite of Hollywood.
He really is, in a way.
We're going to need you to testify against Michael in court for his molestation charges.
That's a good job, whoever's got to choose the music for those. My dad will still say to this day that his like ideal job is to just be working for Fox Sports, and when there's like V8 supercars or rugby league or whatever sport on, he's picking the music for like when they go to ad break and when they...
That's not a bad idea.
That's his ideal job.
It's not a bad idea. Cause
yeah, it'd be all right.
It does matter, and it is weird. Like, you don't notice it until it's bad. And you notice it when it's bad and it doesn't fit, especially if it's something you're into, and suddenly you go, oh, what the fuck? That's a bit rough.
And you also notice if the venue's just hired or just got one of their staff to do it and they're just playing like top 40 stuff.
Yeah.
I mean...
And it's just boring. It doesn't flow. Yeah.
There's bad and then there's just effortless.
Yeah.
I think Bruce would be pretty good at that. I mean, I think my... The son, Faja. The dad of his son.
Son of dad. dad of son.
I think dad of son would be pretty good at that job. No doubt.
Dad, I accidentally cut my cock off.
If you accidentally did cut your cock off, you'd have to keep that a secret. Because so many people would just write you off if you were cockless.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, women would... Oh, that's a tough one. I don't want to go out on a limb and say that. That's silly.
No, you could earn enough money. I'd get a big prosthetic cock.
Big prosthetic cock. Really?
I'd use it exactly. I'd pretend. That'd be my test. It's like the moment they break the illusion that I have a penis, like I'd just be living like I do constantly. The moment they out of it, done, gone. But then I'd have to be a millionaire. Like I'd have to make the most money possible.
Yeah.
So I'd sell children to Hollywood, bring in all that cash.
I would consider being a eunuch because then I feel like I'd get a lot done. I'd probably write a novel.
You would.
I'd probably change the fucking world.
Yeah, definitely. Look at Stephen Hawking.
You're right. You're 100% right. I didn't know that he wasn't born like that.
Yep.
I saw a picture of him. Oof. I just saw a picture of him fully able-bodied on his wedding day. What happened to him?
Well, that's
too
what
much
happens.
Thinking.
Yeah, lazy. He fucking...
Just atrophied away, just sitting there thinking about things and suddenly...
Just went, oh, been thinking for 14 months straight. My body's suffered.
Curled up a bit, yeah. A few bed sores for the genius.
I'm not sure. Yeah, tell me about the black hole while I wipe your ass for you. Nah, he's dead. So the greatest mind alive has passed on.
Who's the greatest... Man, what he told us about stars and the universe and stuff. Pretty cool. Who's the smartest man in the universe now?
I don't know.
I reckon Mel Gibson.
he does have some sort. He's got some knowledge. He's got something.
Well, he knew that it was a right good idea to grow a big beard.
Yeah.
He knew at least he had to start there.
He's going to come back. It's going to be... we'll never see anything like this again in our lifetime, I don't think.
It'll be like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler times 1 million.
Imagine just being Mel Gibson's agent after the, like, or his publicist, anyone related to him in any way, in a professional sense, where you're not even really that close to him, but you have, you know, his...
A stake.
Yeah, yeah. His
behaviour.
Yeah, his brand, his whatever is part of your finances.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. He went off about the Jews.
The publicist would be having a hard time, but a good agent would be going... Fuck yes. I'll turn this around and make some money.
Somehow. I don't know. He had to go away for a few years.
Mm. Well, he didn't do... I mean, it wasn't children. It was just Jews.
Yeah, but they're pretty...
Yeah. I take their kippers off to them.
What's... For when you...
Oh, yeah. Sure. I thought it was a physical setup. I didn't
know. Well, it's a setup for when you feel like that if you've got you know...
Sure, a bit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. That's
real good.
That's what you get in part two of the show. You get a little insight into the mechanics of it all.
No real insight, because that's all happened just privately and we've just said nothing into the microphones, really.
Yeah, but they can draw, they can dot the
They'll figure it out.
Put
they'll
the dots together, yeah.
We're simple.
Yeah.
And that's why I like talking about, I don't know, it's not really smart things. I like talking about abstract things and art and creativity. And I like talking about those things, but I like starting the show with just dumb noises, farting into the microphone and just being silly.
I think that's my biggest issue. The things I want to talk about most are really abstract things that I can't quite articulate. And that's what I most want to talk about and explore. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard because, you got to draw a bridge. You've got to... Because
I think about it a lot, but it's very hard to welcome somebody into that line of thinking sometimes.
It's easier one-on-one because then you can find out what that person's into and you can find, okay, this is the way that that thing is thought about and you can link it that way. You can, because there aren't... I don't know. I don't think that we're that complicated.
Mm.
I think most things can be explained just because they exist. If it exists, it can be explained.
Mm. Go on.
Yeah, I don't know. Milk, it's a tumor in your leg. I've got tumors. Well, I don't know. I don't have tumors. Mm. But I have tumors on the brain because Greg Inglis has big... lumps on the backs of his thighs, and I noticed them in that football game, and it caused me a bit of distress.
Mm. Well, because you're worried about his well-being.
Yeah, it looked fucked up. They were big, like, lumps. They didn't look like anything other than huge tumors of cancer.
Imagine that.
Mm.
You got cancer at the back of the knee.
I like my knees. I reckon they'd go...
Do you?
Yeah, they're all right.
It just cracked when you moved it.
Yeah, exactly. It's alert. It's alive. It's ready to function. Where do you stretch your knee out right now? Not a fucking noise. Yeah, you don't even know it's there.
That's my reconstructor. I got a bionic one, mate.
Yeah, bionic. My fuck.
I can buy a big screw in there. That makes it bionic, doesn't it?
Does that mean I'm bionic?
Yeah.
Because I'm...
Yeah, it's not a disability. You're a superhero.
That's my Kanye thing. Yes. Yeah. No, speaking of bionic, I watched one of the... This is a great example of bad. Like, it's in the realm of... this should be somewhat okay because it's a big-ish movie. It's got a pretty good budget. There's famous people in it.
Mm.
It's called Upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
It has Logan Marshall Green.
Sorry, who's that?
Tom Hardy. He's, you know, if you ever watched a movie and you're like, oh, this guy is this is Tom Hardy, and you go, oh no, that's not him.
Yeah,
that's who Logan Marshall Green is.
Yeah,
like if we talked about this the other day, if you were this guy who looks exactly like Tom Hardy,
yeah,
and you I just like, all right, we started to be in a few movies, it's going all right. And then you just see Tom Hardy just start to break through. He's Bane.
Yeah.
And you go, fucking hell.
He's on top of the world.
This is, oh, I can't occupy that space anymore because he's done that.
Yeah.
So that guy is in it and he plays a, where he gets paralyzed and then through the miracle of technology, they're able to rejoin his spine, but it's like a whole secret thing, whatever. And this thing can simulate, this can stimulate his body now and make him move in and the way he wants to.
Mm.
The problem is that he, so he was a quadriplegic in a chair, moving, like getting wheeled around, all that, just for months.
Legs don't work.
And then, oh, reconnected? Oh, he's just fucking fighting people now because this thing can, is like fighting for him. So it's like, even if he could move at that speed, the muscles are just shit. They're dog shit. They need to work on that sort of stuff. But they start making like bionic sounds like in the fighting scenes. So it's like, and it's, I'm like, this is
like you didn't know. Like,
but it's just, it's not bionic. Like it's, he doesn't, he's not a robot. It's literally just his body being controlled by the robot.
Yeah.
By the little chip.
He hasn't got robotic parts.
Yeah.
He hasn't grown metal.
And I think this is like...
pistons.
We were talking about in part one of the episode about like how a thing just is off. Like they haven't committed. Mm. They haven't committed to the idea of what this thing was because this makes no sense. Like if they were invested in it properly, it they would have produced something a lot more enjoyable. But it it upset me to watch.
Another parallel we could draw would be from this same educational podcast from the last part of the episode when you were talking about The Machinist and Fight Club and how The Machinist just can't fill that role of Fight Club, just like Logan Marshall White.
Logan Marshall Green with envy for Tom Hardy.
Oh!
I've been sitting on that one for 4 days.
That's peak. That's peak out of my milk. Oh, fuck. I forget.
It's switched. See, I've just brought it, brought my own, my awareness of my disabled brain to the forefront, being able to just forget what I'm talking about because I talk in abstract so much and then eventually get too far away from my own original thought. Brought that to the forefront, to the idea. Now it's in your head.
You've cooked me.
Mm.
It's a combination of that and me listening to 2AAA all the time.
Yeah, really bumming you out.
2AAA Wagga Wagga, if you're not from Wagga Wagga or the area and listen to this podcast, you can find it online. They've got an online stream and that's always up. I think it's called 2AAA. It's still called that.
Yeah.
2AAA Wagga FM, whatever. Check it out. It's fantastic. It's that's really where we got our chops from.
It is. It's a everything is a learning experience, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it has to be.
And you can just, yeah, you can pull a lot from that. And that's, see, I mentioned the Joe Rogan experience with Chuck Palahniuk, the author of Fight Club. One of the things they talked about was being able to... never mind. I'm not even going to...
while you were saying that, I remembered what I forgot.
And it was, I just lost interest in my own thoughts. It's not even fucking worth talking about. What am I doing?
Yeah. When you were talking about Logan Marshall Green with envy for Tom Hardy, and he would have been going, fuck, now I can't do that. That's when you got to turn heel.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you ever consider just turning heel?
I'm working towards it right now. I've seen it happening. I'm idolizing villains in movies and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh, fuck.
I thought about it at work. I'm like, I just fucking dislike work so much. I'm just going to be the office heel. Like, suddenly just flip it. Just to change fucking things up. Because you can go back to face.
Yeah.
You can always just go good again.
Well, that's the interesting part. Is if people, like, in... it's human nature... people notice it all the time. That's why everyone loves fucking a story of an ex-heroin addict and stuff like that. They're more likely to give somebody a second chance if they've made a mistake and gone heel, and they'll welcome them back.
Yeah.
But if you've just been heel the whole time, Oh, actually, no. No, fuck that. They just will. We're just second chance people by nature.
Yeah. Like you were saying, it's you live day to day. You reinvent yourself day to day. Well,
yeah, and that's right.
Really, that's why we are sort of second chance people, because eventually you just go, oh, I don't even remember why I'm fucking angry at you. You're all right. You fucking old shagger.
Well, ultimately, most of what we do doesn't matter. That's why I don't. That's why I don't get involved with
most. You're right. It is most of what we do.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
So, like, there's a line from, weird to say, I won't say who, somebody in my family said to another family member about something they were embarrassed about.
Mm.
And he's just like, well,
size of his cock, was it?
He's complimenting how large and girthy it was.
Don't worry about it. It's fucking, they love it. Look how wide that clipped?
Was that recent? That looked recent. Oh, that's weird. Anyway, he said, well, when they write the histories in 100 years from now, when they go to this month and this particular day, I'm sure that this particular incident will be overlooked.
Yeah.
And it's a good little perspective.
You can say that thing fucking 24 times a day.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So it's like a time where you go, like, Adam and myself, we're not actors. We are just, you'll see so many people who are just fucking, they pretend that they like each other. Hamish and Andy, come on.
They would.
We're actually friends. We went to a football game together last week, and just at the game, just noticing people who are, their vibe is, I want an incident. I want some sort of angry confrontation.
Mm.
And I'm like, I'm not giving you that. Like, that's fucked up that you're walking around with your arms like puffed out, just like angry. Like, I'm coming downstairs against the railing, and this guy's coming up the middle of, like, on my side, but in the middle of it. And I was like, well, just wander over that way. I'm on the side already.
You've picked your side. And I'm just like, you've established
it. I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to go past, not going to make a thing. But they have that energy, and it's like, is this worth it? Like, come on, man. We're not even you need to just be building towards the one thing that will matter in your life.
Yeah. How highly strung people must be.
Yeah, stressful.
And in a separate incident on the very same, probably within the same hour, I walked past a couple of dudes who were there to watch the footy, I guess. And I've just overheard a fragment of their conversation, and it was just, I wanted to smash his fucking face in. Oh,
like, is it really
dead? What? What's going on in your life?
Yeah,
this is happening so just nonchalantly.
Just consistently. Yeah. I can't. I don't get it, because we're not in a way. This isn't the Middle East. Fucking 100. Like 2,000 years ago, where you are just by yourself. You're just looking out for yourself and the people around you.
And your tiny little family and community.
Yeah, we're pretty safe. You're not really threatened by anyone.
No, like, especially at a nice big event.
And you were all there for the same thing. That's what I don't get, is people who are out for a bad time at an event because you paid money.
For a shared experience.
Yeah, we're all here to have the same fun.
If you didn't want it, you'd be at home watching it.
Yeah.
On the TV.
So you've come there and you're not there to enjoy it. I don't know. I don't get it.
You got all your eggs in the wrong basket.
Yeah, yeah. You're
not in sync.
You got to feel that thing.
You're not fucking in sync like us, mate. We are in sync, boy.
Like the band, you know, with Justin Timberlake.
I reckon we could do a fairly decent choreographed dance. Catchy song.
Yeah. We're
pretty sexy.
Oh, excuse me. I'd almost be tempted to, but it feels like it would be like a Hamish and Andy kind of thing.
Mm, maybe.
Like, it would be too much.
Now's not the time. No. Let's certainly say
but
that.
I get very skeptical of like the cutesy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of done. Everyone just does that now.
Yeah.
No. That's weird.
For what it's worth, I think a lot of people really dislike their new show, True Stories.
Ah, good.
Yeah, I think the consensus is that it's fucking crap.
Good.
And that's maybe we haven't given some people enough credit. I think that's fair, but credit where it's due. You are correct. It is shit.
Well, that's one of the things we've talked about, is that Hamish and Andy, they might be funny guys. They might really be.
You're not disputing that.
But look at the environments that they have to put themselves into.
Yeah.
And how funny can you be in those environments? And the fact is that they've signed over to doing, you know, these mainstream TV shows.
For the same network.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, Hamish, Andy, we know that you're fucking 34 and 35, but we need you to go on another gap year and do a show.
Yeah, they did that. How many did that? Did they do?
A lot. Too many.
Yeah.
Too many.
That's the thing. People, when they hit success, everyone thinks that they're about something until they come across the first hurdle. It's like people who go, no, I'd never cheat, never do anything. You're an ugly cunt. So
yeah.
Don't say that like when everyone jumped up and down at Tiger Woods.
I wouldn't even fuck Jennifer Aniston. No, that's okay.
Yeah, righto. Yeah. Fuck off. you don't know that. So just either shut up or
let's not talk about it. Yeah. Or just let's talk about it at least a funny.
Yeah.
Let's think about it differently.
But the idea being that until you're confronted by that, you don't actually know, you can't say that. But they were confronted. They went, oh, this was successful. Let's cash it in. Let's make Hannah Gatsby is a good example of that. She did that comedy special. Didn't watch it. Don't care. Everyone's talking about it. Don't give a fuck. Comedy's dead. We already covered that. But she did her Nanette special, where it was apparently the opening half, B-level jokes. Second half, C-level TED talk. Quitting comedy. No more. I'm done with it. It's a bad thing. It's not good for me. It's not a good thing. It's not helpful to people. Oh, made a lot of money from Netflix. It's one of the most successful things. I'm not quitting comedy anymore, guys.
I'd be silly to quit comedy.
Yeah, not now. Now that I'm making money. Oh, just because I talked about my three rapes. Three.
But what?
Somebody's not alert. No, sorry.
See, one thing I will say.
We just like learning from our mistakes. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Learn from your mistakes, Nanette. Soften that blow.
I do want to say that
sorry.
I understand the mentality of, oh, wait, you know, this, I had some success here. Maybe it is the right thing to do. But I suspect that nothing will change. So the issues that existed before that little flash of success are still huge issues that you'll have to sort out first. So if you think it's not good for anyone, it's not good for you, then how are you going to change that? Don't think about the money, because that probably won't happen again. It might, but it probably won't.
Yeah.
So if you do really want to keep doing it, then are the things that made you want to quit addressed without the money? Probably not.
That's a very good point.
And so what, you go back onto that road that you just got off?
So she's not
chasing that flash again, and it probably won't come because you're a comedian. A great person, great artist or anything. I don't know. I do know. I'm right.
Yep.
That's what 100%. I'm spot on.
It's just the reality. Yeah. Well, see, I get, like, we kind of joke around with stuff. We joke around when we're like, yep, I'm right. I'm fucking smart. I'm right. But I, like, we're flexible with those ideas, obviously. But I don't see, like, everyone defends themselves immediately. It's very instinctive to defend against an attack of an idea straight away, because everyone's trying to pick everyone apart for everything constantly. We do it on here because it's great, it's fun. But I think you should be able to go, no, I believe this and I believe it 100%. Because it's your idea. Why shouldn't you? Oh, I need to be not as sure. Okay, so you're just going to walk around in your life unsure about everything. That fucking sounds terrible. I just want somebody who actually has those... I want to listen to that sort of thing where it's like, nah, I do believe that. I think that 100%. Because, and if you believe it for yourself, now this is what I think I might have talked about this before. I came around on Gavin McInnes from a TV appearance of his that was, I saw on YouTube, where he was talking about spring break. And they were like, oh, do you want to take you said you wouldn't allow your daughters on spring break, but you'd allow your sons? And he's like, yeah, I would. And he says, well, how can you say that? That's terrible. Well, how would you stop them even? This is, makes no sense at all. He's just like, I'm not talking about stopping them. I'm talking about what I believe. I'm not Mao. I can't make all of you do whatever. But I, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Because a person who's like a, in power needs to think for the group, needs to do all that and make those decisions. But as an individual, how do you know what you feel? Because everyone's trying to think for everybody else constantly. But why can't I, as an individual, go, no, I don't like that. And I wouldn't want that. Why can't he have that idea? And I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of interesting.
Most people are fucking talk. When most people argue over something simple like that, they're talking about two completely different things. I'm reading an Alan Jacobs book at the moment called How to Think. And he talks about, he read a really famous article written for The Atlantic called The Case for Reparations. And he was talking to his friends about it. And then he said, but he didn't make a case for reparations. And then it's like, what? How can you read that article and not feel like black people need reparations? And he's like, that's not, we can all agree that they probably deserve reparations and that what they're getting, we can all agree on the moral of it. But it's called The Case for Reparations. He didn't present anything. He presented something we already all agree on, but no means to fix it. So he wasn't arguing about
that's the same morality thing, of it all. That's the same thing with when people talk about open borders and closed borders and stopping people coming in and all that sort of stuff.
Detention centers.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about very, very different things. It wouldn't be an issue if it could just happen, if it could just let everyone in and it would all be fine. I just don't think that would happen. So there needs to be some checks. There's a reason, like we always comes back to pedos. They took away pedos' passports from Australia so they couldn't go over to countries. So there you go. There's a use.
Pedo havens.
There's a use for having checks and things like that. There you go. This is about a bit more. So once we start have that point, it's like, all right, we can just.
It's the means that we need to discuss.
Yes.
Not, we all agree that we don't want, like, people needlessly suffering. We can probably just generally agree that we don't want people to suffer. We want as many people as possible to be happy.
Yeah, just flourishing. Let's get everyone putting in as much as we can to society. Like, just let's get all this happening.
I mean, I don't want to talk about detention centers and that kind of thing, but I
really do. Detention centers, particularly child-based ones, are fucking sick. Workyard. Chop the hair. Lose your identity. Work in the yard. Self immolate. Protest that.
But I've been watching Wild Wild Country, which is a documentary on the Rajneesh religion and movement.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, well, I'll just keep it simple, but it was an idea, like a prophet, basically. Bhagwan, I can't remember the rest of his name, Bhagwan, brought...
What about Bhag 2?
No. brought a...
I'm sorry, really am.
Brought a heap of people over from India, and a heap of Americans joined this. It was a cult. I'm just going to say it was a cult. Very simple. Don't debate it. I'm just doing it for...
To get to the main point.
Exactly.
We can debate the, oh, these people actually the wanted to it. Because it didn't, they signed up for this knowingly. Yeah. No, we don't care. It's just the easiest way to.
But they opened a huge camp. They bought an enormous ranch in Oregon and took over a town, basically. And it was all legal. And they voted. They basically established a council. They outnumbered the smaller residents. They voted to change the name to Rajneesh. They needed more people to vote, so to take over the whole province, so they only had a tiny, tiny little American town that they could sort of politically control. They wanted to control the entire province, so they needed a heap more people to vote. So they bought in, and this is essentially, like, you can look at this as an experiment to see why it's just not that simple with borders and things. So they bought in busloads of homeless people from all around America to beef up the population so that they would just essentially have the vote uncontested. And it was like it was a cult, so it was built on, you know, no one was drug addicts. Everyone got two beers a day. Everyone worked for 12 hours. It was all about love and spirituality and stuff. They brought in all these homeless people on busloads and just put them straight into the community. And then there was trouble. And then there was just a huge homeless man who picked up the Bhagwan's like queen, basically, by the throat and was just holding her in the air and choking her. And then they took him in a bus and took him off the land. And then they started putting sedative drugs in the beers that they gave the homeless people to just keep them sedated so they didn't cause trouble. So it just goes to show that just bringing in hugely unregulated numbers of...
Yeah.
And yes, they're humans. Yes, they deserve everything. But that's the means don't yeah. make sense. And it hasn't worked in every...
And that's the thing too, is do you trust the government? Because we don't know what they could do. Like that's a good example too of just pure exploitation.
Oh,
how do you know these people aren't being brought in to be exploited? Oh, because I'm a social worker and I'll be... Oh, okay. If they get to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
if one of them gets... Like if fucking five of them get to you out of 500.
We just don't... We don't know. And we don't know... there's so much that we don't know.
And the media want us to keep arguing on the morality.
Yeah, when we're past that.
And not the means.
Yeah. But that's the thing too, is the people who aren't... there are people who are anti, like, all right, we want closed borders. Those people don't even think about the morality part of it. Because if you thought about the morality part, you'd be on the let's bring them in
boat. Yeah, exactly. Let's get them out of war. And
yeah. But it's like just simple like sales almost. Like it's an idea. Okay, these people, how do I convince them that they need my product? And my product being more people brought in.
Yeah.
All right, so how do I present that idea? Well, you've got to speak their language. What are they interested in? They just want to see, be convince them. How do you convince them? Like I remember somebody sent me a thing, this is from an argument about borders.
Mm.
And it was, and it made sense. I can't remember the dude's name. I wish I could actually.
Mm.
Nah, fuck him.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah, get on with it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But it was like a presentation about the money currently being spent in detention centers, using that current fund and repurposing it for a better resettlement program, like using our ties with Indonesia and things like that and it would work out better for Indonesia as well as us, like economically. Yeah. It was just working better. I'm reading through it and I'm like, this all makes sense. I don't have the knowledge to like question to really, certain parts,
critique it,
but to me that makes a lot more sense. Why aren't more people, why isn't this getting propped up? Why isn't this idea?
They're just everyone's looking for the emotional response. That's the first response we have naturally. You should be stoking the fire of like the critical, critical response.
Yeah, those are the people that you've got to convince.
Exactly.
I don't know. Madness.
Fucking true madness in here, that's for sure.
I did have one thing, a little return for the Elon Musk story that we were talking about. We've been keeping an eye on this, just like because everyone's turned
is this,
on him.
Sorry, Adam and Milk super fan.
Yeah,
Elon Musk. Yeah, who I think he was listening to the podcast
when he was testing out the new Tesla.
Yeah, when he was testing out the sound system in the Tesla, cruising around.
That's how we got the critique to actually move to change this format of the audio, to change things up a little bit. We've worked on that.
Exactly.
It came from him.
We're gonna listen.
He told us he was going to give us some more money. And we said, look, Elon, when the time comes, we'll come to you.
We'll earn it, Elon. That's what we said.
This is a tag from an announcement from Tesla about staying a public thing. So people can buy in, whatever.
Yeah.
In talking to this is from Elon Musk. In talking to our public investors, most were supportive of optimizing for long-term value creation over quarterly earnings. This was also a factor in remaining public. And I'm just like, that's such a good little bit of information to put out there, even if it's not true. that's a good idea to put out there, because we're all anti-corporation, all anti-big corporation, just as a standard. Most people are. Because why would you trust them? Like, they're good to have because we get products and they get things done. But as a standard, we should not trust them. But that's a good sign to go. Because
why would they care about us?
Exactly. Exactly. Which is fine. That's good. they're made to not care about us. But the thing is that saying, you don't want a company that's just going to go, all right, we need to, they're just trying to make it to the next quarter to make as much money as possible.
Yeah.
They're talking about doing something long term, and that takes, that's how you get anything worthwhile done, is you've got to really invest in it and find the time. That's why you've got to listen to a few episodes of this show before you might even really enjoy it.
You've got to invest. And that is a fraction of the investment that we've put in.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about. It's all about that and making sure that those chinks don't get away.
They've got thick skin, don't they?
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
You can see, yeah. Gook is the most acceptable racial slur, even though for mine, it's one of the most sort of, I'll go, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. it's that's because it's a real old one.
Yeah. You hear it every now and then, you go, fuck, I forgot people use that. But they don't care.
No.
Because they've done well.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. They're operating by a different set of rules. They don't give a shit.
Mm.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. Sydney's pretty nice. We'll buy up. We'll
have this. Now.
We'll be a part of this. We'll run Sydney. Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did we talk about that on the show? That the real estate sign.
We did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, so we were in
the
Sydney.
The more astute listeners will recall.
Oh, you want to hear something embarrassing?
Yes.
So I like Opie and Anthony, and now I've totally turned. I'm with the Opie and Anthony subreddit on that. I keep an eye on it. It's fantastic.
Yep.
They used to, like, if there was a reference to something that's like, you'd have to be a listener from the previous, like, whatever length of time, like a previous thing to
really
do with the show.
In the inner circle.
Yeah. You know what they'd say? Linger longer.
Okay.
Linger.
Longer.
Longer. That's embarrassing. Just that little fucking in-group thing. They're like, it's fine if it's just a joke. If it's if you're just making the joke, but now you're making the joke about how we know, but everyone else doesn't.
Yeah, it's very exclusion.
Yeah.
Exclusive?
Yeah.
Exclusionary? It's one of those.
It's fucking gay. It's gay is what it is. I think that's all I had. Just a little Elon Musk update. We like keeping track of that sort of thing.
This has been a wholesome experience.
We've got a lot out of it. I've got maybe something more. Okay. No, I had an idea. I was going to open the show with this. And it's going to be like, Welcome to Unpleasant, a secret meeting place for white supremacy, which might be a good way to be lighthearted. The following people are not welcome. Whites, blacks, Jews, Italians, French, blacks, Chinese, Africans, Japanese, blacks, Mexicans. And they are also all gay.
So we've got our core audience of Inuits. They're allowed.
Yep. They're the only ones.
Yep. That's not a bad point you bring up, starting a show saying a secret meeting place for white supremacists. And I can... Rodney Rood did a similar thing. I remember him. Not a similar idea, I guess. Mm. The joke was nothing like it, but it was just a full-on joke. And he said, I should have told that joke at the start of the show so I could have culled a few of you cunts. And it's right, and that's another thing I've read in that book. And it was like, I went to this lecture and he started talking and... I just hated it. I didn't agree with any of it. And I couldn't wait to go up to him after the lecture and be like, fuck you, you know, you're wrong. But, and then he's like, I realized that I was annoyed at the first couple of things he said. And then from then on, I just wasn't listening. Just ready to refute. Just ready to cherry pick and just be like, just to win. So I think it might be a good idea to get those things. Because if people can last past that.
Yeah, yeah, they're prepared.
They're prepared, but if that makes you go, right, then you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
You're not going to enjoy it.
As if it was really about white supremacy, yeah. I'd just go, welcome to the secret meeting that's publicized on Facebook. And it's like,
exactly. Welcome to this, the inner sanctum.
Yeah, where everyone can listen to it just publicly. Craziness.
For free.
Anyway, there was that, and there was that. We were maybe going to talk about that Jimmy Kimmel clip. It's kind of famous, but it might be a bit old now.
Okay.
Of Kanye talking to Jimmy Kimmel, and he's just fake laughing the whole
time.
Jimmy
Kimmel is.
It's so uncomfortable. Yeah. It's fucking terrible.
It's good. I think it's a good note to finish on. Yeah. I just want to hear a bit of fake laughter and just think about something to think about after it.
Yeah, because Kanye rules and Jimmy Kimmel is a pedophile. I love just stomping a joke into the ground. That's fantastic.
I remember as a young tacker watching Oz late night on SBS, and I'd really enjoy it. I'd go to bed after it and just think about it. I'm like, fuck, this is deep shit. And I feel like some people might experience that after listening to Adam and Milk. And it's a good idea to end on this fake laughter, because then they'll listen to that and think about it and go, you're right, that is fake. And there's a lot of other things that
I hope so.
Invest a bit of time in that are just bullshit.
I hope that is the impact, because that's the value of... Because, all right, you got to look at these things in context. Like, we don't put like a big production into the show. We don't have a team of writers or anything. But the advantage of our position is that we are isolated from Hollywood. We're isolated from all the media people.
Well and truly.
Yeah, yeah.
And well and truly.
And that's fantastic. Like, that's so good, because now we can look at it honestly, because...
Yep.
We have a very similar way of thinking in that we like being entertained. We like entertaining. But if you're trying to be a part of it, you will accept things that you wouldn't normally accept.
Yeah, exactly.
You're willing to put up with...
The fear of being left out
is
just too great and a lot of people.
And you go, oh, well, I'm just gonna play along with it. It's the same thing If your boss hates your footy team, you're not going to tell them that that's who you support on your first day.
Mm.
You know, you're going to just bide your time a little
things
bit.
Things like that.
But if you wouldn't, you know, if you were just at the pub, you wouldn't do that. At the pub. I'm just always at the pub. Just hanging out. Just
shooting the shit, drinking a few fucking beers, yeah? You want a fucking beer?
We watched a few seconds of the Andrew Johns show the other day, and he just asked, he was...
The Matty Johns show.
Matty Johns show, yeah. It was Andrew Johns, I'd watch that, but he's not doing a show. Anyway, Matty Johns is leaning forward, and he's just going, yeah, but you enjoy a beer at the end of the day. You drink beer, though, yeah?
Do you go for a beer?
Yeah.
You go for a beer.
The way he looked at him was just like, you need to say yes to this, or I will just have no idea of what world you exist.
Please tell me it hasn't changed. You all still go for a fucking get on the piss, don't you? Fucking please.
I wonder what would happen if I just said, nah, Johnsy, I don't.
Nah, we just train hard. I meditate.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really do much
else. I like going home for a fucking gang rape. I reckon that's fucking sick, bruh. He was accused.
Yeah, he did a big 60-minute. But unlike his brother, when his brother got interviewed about the ecstasy pill, unprompted said, I'll be honest, I was going to take it. Matty Johns didn't go, look, she was there and her fucking ass was in the air, and I'll be honest, I was going to fucking slip it in. He didn't say that, did he? He went, look, I'm married.
I didn't watch that interview. I don't give a fuck. But just surface level, I think it's very amazing to just wasn't he accused? Like, that's it. I'm only enjoying it from that sort of thing. Anyway, here we got Kimmel. I don't know how this is going to play.
The objectifying. Do you feel like your attitude towards women has changed since having daughters?
Nah, I still look at Pornhub and...
All right, real laugh so far, that's good.
What kind of stuff do you look at? What categories?
All right, so he asks...
Blacked is my favorite category.
You don't have to go into that.
That's fact.
I mean, you can if you want. But
I mean, what's the point of being Kanye West if you can't? Let's break down the porn categories. a lot of black on white, obviously.
I regret asking because
And so Blacked, which ironically we were talking about earlier.
Great minds.
So you'll hear the change. You'll hear.
Blacked is my favorite.
Like he just totally.
I still look at Pornhub and.
So he's like, all right.
Yeah, because that is funny. That's unexpected.
But that's the thing. It's only the chance. Jimmy Kimmel is never funny. And I'll say that easily. But it's only the chance for somebody else to be funny.
What kind of stuff do you look at? What categories?
Good question. All right.
Blacked is my favorite category.
You don't have to go into that.
No, he just went right too there. Far and he went, oh, no, oh, I regret this.
Yeah, he's going to bring up like fucking trannies or something.
And he's just going to, because he knows his audience. Mm. Very, very, you know, we laugh at Donald Trump. And that.
And other late night. Great, great late night.
I don't know anyone who watches this late night show. The smartest thing that they did was make everything into like little clips and put it online so people would watch it.
Yeah,
share.
Exactly.
That's all that
carpool karaoke now. And shit like that. Yeah, little segments that they can just really get 5 minutes of viewing out of.
Carpool,
but they
karaoke.
Still do it every night. How long is an episode? 30 minutes. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly every night.
Five nights a week.
And Jimmy Kimmel is thinking. There's 60 people who work under me on this show. I can't let him just talk about white girls getting slammed by big black cocks on my show. You asked him.
Yeah, you brought it up.
And then you fake laughed through it.
There was a part of you that can do this job and probably could do it really well. But then you start to think about, oh, fuck.
Yeah, you've got to do, you've got to change your things.
You can if you want. But
I mean, what's the point of being Kanye West if you can't? Let's break down the porn categories.
So he only pretends to be on board.
Swallow. Yeah, let's do it.
That's a nervous swallow if I've ever heard one.
I can identify a nervous swallow.
Yeah, let's go through it.
A lot of black on white, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It's mirroring your own self, your own situation.
My own reality.
Yeah, right. It's like doubly masturbating in a way, if you think about it.
His voice broke that. Then, did you hear that?
Yeah, he's
doubly masturbating.
I need that double.
I'll show you after the show.
No, I don't want to see it.
You have some really heavy songs. One of them is called
Really, that's white teeth. I don't know.
Wouldn't like to see you at night.
Yeah, in the dark alley. Oh, not that you
Why is,
do he's anything to me.
Nervously, like, I just want to listen to this ass bit.
You have some really heavy songs.
So that's just uncomfortable. But that's it. That's a minute and a half clip.
Yeah.
I think that show, if it's like a half hour, no, if it's like an hour long late night show, there's like 20 minutes of ads.
Mm.
So that's at least 40 minutes of pretending to laugh at people. Like that's the thing. You'd have to just sit down with people you don't like or find interesting.
Yeah. And have very structured interviews with many boundaries that we aren't aware of. That the viewer's not aware of.
That's yuck. Just fake human interaction. I do not want to see
just
that.
Just filling in. Right. People are going to want to fucking have their night filled in. 7 till 10:30. Let's just pack it every night.
And Kanye just showing up in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Talking about you, Jimmy.
BBCs.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. All right. We'll end on that one. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. But not in like a weird
way. I don't
way.
Think about it, no, at night.
But yeah, no.
I do appreciate it.
I think about the show at night. Like I think about things that I could do to improve it, but I don't think about people listening. I think that's weird.
I think a piss bottle would be good. We get a piss bottle.
Yeah,
in
maybe just a
what
catheter.
What do they call it? A catheter.
Just a catheter. Just one.
A bag.
Yeah. We'd save money on the bag and just get two
we'll
holes.
Get like an overnight bag and put two holes
in. And then we'd both just have to sit here with a catheter in.
Yeah.
It's going into the same
I'd
bag.
Forget. I'd stand up real quick to go and get a beer from
pull
the fridge,
mine out.
Pull your catheter out.
Piss everywhere.
Oh, well.
That's a shame.
All right.
Well, all right. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. No.
And God willing, we'll be back.
That's actually an ad. It's another ad because I tried to get back into the Michael Jackson thing.
We are still dictated by the world we hate.
Yeah, we can't. I guess that's it. This is the price. I'm not paying for YouTube, so
yeah,
this
and
is it.
You shouldn't. I hope no one is.
Yeah. If you're paying for YouTube, you can pay for us.
Yeah.